So this is a continuation, you all, from last week. Okay, we didn't get through the video last week. Who was here last week? Okay, so for those of you who weren't here last week, this is we're going to watch the second half of a video called Wokeness and the Gospel by Dr. Owen Strahan. Dr. Owen Strahan is a contemporary of Vody Bachum, and you may be familiar with Dr. Bachum, who is... He's actually a dean of a seminary in, I think, Kenya. And he, both men, you know, have, Vody actually wrote this book here, Fault Lines. I highly recommend it. Dr. Strahan will refer to it a couple different times, but what I'll do here in just a minute, we're going to pray and then we'll review what we talked about last week. Okay, and then after we do that, we'll watch the second half of this video. This video is about defining what wokeness is in our culture. We need to know about this because wokeness is not declaring full truths. Okay, there are partial truths. There are what Dr. Strahan likes to call contact points between Christianity and what is proclaimed by this culture. But make no mistake that this, and I will just call it a religion, so does Vody Bachum, this is another religion that is really, it's man-centered, and it is work-centered, and it's designed to, in the name of fairness, place another group of people into a position of advantage. We're all sinners here, but what we need to counter with, and what Dr. Strahan, Dr. Bachum recommends, and what our Lord tells us to do, is we are to confess the truth, and that is, you're doing a good job of that, Chloe. So the first thing I want to direct us to is the truth in James chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Show no favoritism." Dr. Strahan, and there in your handout, he focuses in on Colossians 2:8. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Rick brought up the example of offense and defense, and that's exactly what we're supposed to be called to do to engage this culture. We need to defend ourselves, our family, the way Nehemiah admonishes us to, okay, not just from physical threats, but from spiritual and emotional and really, mental threats, threats to our lines of thinking, our logic and reasoning. And we do that by taking every thought captive. But to do that, we also, as I said earlier, we have to discern the truth. And then we have to confess, not just profess our faith to people, which is the way we live, making our decisions, but we need to confess at the right time and right place when we are engaged with the culture, when we make these contact points with them. So some things, Rick had a bunch of things that happened, previous week. Not as much happened this week, but I will tell you some things that were reported this week, just to kind of give you an example of where wokeness is coming, how it's affecting our lives now. So a report was released by the New York City Police Department, okay, and it's pretty typical of most cities across the United States now, that their shootings increased in this period between January and now by 16%. Crime overall is up 36% in that city, and they've had over 4,000 felony arrests in this same period. This was reported by the New York City Police Department, and the source was a news channel from the Bronx in New York. And this is similar to, and why did this come about? Well, it came about because there was a $1 billion reduction in funding to the New York City Police Department as a result of the defund the police movement, which comes out of this wokeness, okay, movement comes out of Black Lives Matter and so forth. And also, it comes from the reduction of, or the abolishment of bail requirements for felonies up to a certain level. So there's no bail, so these criminals are going in and out of the system. Another thing that happened this week, which is interesting, is most of us have heard of Elon Musk, right? Well, Elon Musk bought 9% of Twitter in order to, in exchange, to have a position on their board of directors. Now, you may be thinking, well, okay, so whatever, you know, what's that matter to me? Well, what that matter is, it gives him a very strong voice on that board of directors in directing a company that controls the communication in the world and where this goes. And there's a movement now. You probably haven't heard of it because it's such a boring acronym. It's called ESG. Has anybody in the room heard of ESG? ESG stands for environmental, social, and gender movement. ESG. They keep it very innocuous. And what it is, you can Google it, okay? It's there. So, but ESG is, it holds that instead of going through normal processes of law and order, you know, through our normal, you know, legal system to get changes made in society, they want to bypass it and just go straight through the marketplace, straight through corporate America, and let's influence society that way. Elon Musk, by the way, you know, is a huge climatologist and environmental, you know, supporter, and there are other people who have, you know, lots of money that are similarly minded. So that this affects us. So I'm going to transition now. So why, you know, are we studying this? Okay, we're studying this because we need to know how to fight, okay, for the truth, to contend for the truth. And God's truth, because God's truth defines who we are and how we confess the truth in this dying world. Now, wokeness, though, claims that we're defined by our skin color and other differences, the same as racism, yet wokeness claims a moral superiority to justify its actions. To effectively contend for the gospel here, we're called to confess how Christianity is different from the world. Understanding our audience and their justification for embracing wokeness and their departure from the Bible enables us to be more effective at this effort. There's a presupposition that people that espouse wokeness hold, and that's the presupposition that everything of old, at least in America, was stained with the sin of state-sponsored oppression. Structural racism, marginalization, coercion, and favoritism. That's what they claim. And that these things have preserved and favored white people. And they believe it still does today. Wokeness consists of the mutually supporting worldviews or aspects. And you may have heard something, we mentioned them last week. You'll hear some of them in the video here. Of critical social justice, critical race theory, intersectionality, conflict theory, and hegemony. And all these things have one thing in common. They divide people into oppressor and oppressed. That's not what Christianity does. Christianity, we are one race and we are one people. So, you may be asking, so why are they doing this? And I think, honestly, it comes down to people have, we're all sinners, and like any sinner that's ever walked this earth, they want to satisfy their own wills just like we do at times. This philosophy of wokeness provides a very easy justification for that. And that justification is your right to choose your own way, because the old way was wrong. Okay, the old way was even evil. In fact, there are people within the wokeness community, and they were mentioned last time in video, that actually call white people evil, even demons. That's a quote. Therefore, you know, they feel almost justified. They feel holier than thou, if you will. Okay, they feel morally superior for making these choices. And those of us who hold to tradition, hold to, you know, history the way we've been taught it, well, we are part of that crowd, of that evil crowd. That's why they embrace things like gender fluidism and independence, sexual independence, transgenderism, homosexuality. That's why they demand reparations. This is why they rebel against most authorities. This is why that they have no issue with taking other people's lives, reputations, or things. This is why they have no issue with silencing parental rights, okay, and our ability to voice dissenting opinion here in this culture. I think we've all seen it. This wokeness leads to an illegalization, a making illegal of our ability to practice our faith. This is why we're studying this. This is why we're studying this, because it separates us. And this is why we must fight. And again, I will reiterate, we must fight by confessing God's truth about us and about them, about his love for his creation, and about his salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his blood. We want them, as Dr. Strahan put it in the last video, and I felt this quote really stuck with me. We want them to feel the cold air of God's truth upon their face, to wake them up, not to pun here in prose, but that's what that was covered. There were 7 points, and probably the most important one was that racism is ordinary and it can't be escaped. I think that, you know, we'll see the rest of this. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn to this video here, and we'll have some questions and answers after that, okay? So are there any questions at this point about what was covered last week? This kind of set the stage for things. So obviously silence is consent, so that's all good. Let's do this. And I wanted to kind of ask some questions and open it up for questions, too. Some of y'all know, Liz knows, that, and I told some folks here in the beginning, we did my small group, or did a book, a study on Vody Bakum's book here, Fault Lines. I highly recommend it because it does a really good job in a very readable way, summarizing the history of how this came about. There were some terms that were used that some of y'all might not be familiar with, like terms like social justice, critical social justice, critical theory, intersectionality. The difference between being a racist, even the definition of racism as it relates to being an anti-racist. So I throw this out there. I mean, do y'all have some questions about that, those terms, or about what we should, be receiving what Dr. Strahan has talked about? I'm going to open it up there. I mean, you know, there's, if not, I'll ask a question of somebody like Nathan, okay? Or Josh.
It gives a whole new meaning man to give an answer to those who don't believe in gentleness and respect, because this is an unbelievably emotional issue for whatever, if there are sides that there obviously are, whatever side you fall on, incredibly emotional, and it's so easy to get sucked into that, and to get sucked into the reality of the there's someone's supposed reality of us versus them. And to get into exactly what they're performing.
It's easy to do. I mean, even as Christians.
Because Our call is to be ministers of reconciliation, bar none. We are to, Christ reconciled us to God, therefore be reconciled to God. I implore you. In 2 Corinthians, that verb, implore, is being tied to something, as if I'm tying myself to this until you submit, be reconciled to God. That's what we're supposed to do to people, be reconciled. That we reconcile them to God and then to them.
I completely agree with you. And I think, in contrast, wokeness is similar in that it also has a religious nature to it, a religious structure to it, because to be an anti-racist sounds good, right? Sounds good to most people. It sounds good because it appeals to your moral superiority. If I'm an anti-racist, I'm a better person in comparison to everybody else, because racism, of course, is evil. Racism being defined as the favoritism of one group of people over another group of people, one group of people dehumanizing another group of people for the sake of their skin color. So but because of our sordid history, and in the United States, and we have, as Dr. Strahan, as we all know, there have been terrible, terrible, heinous sins that have been committed by men of our nation, white men and black men, and men of all color, and ladies too, especially as it relates to slavery and the enslavement of people. But to be an anti-racist, according to D'Angelo, Robin D'Angelo is one of the Hallmark. She wrote the book called White Fragility. It's one of the mandatory texts, I think, that's being used at West Point now, as well as other corporations, as in diversity training. And it states that, yeah, you cannot, as a white person, even if you didn't have slave owners or in your history, even if you don't see yourself as being colorblind, that as a white person, we benefit from the collective benefits of yesteryear all the way through now, and the systemic changes and social structures that have been developed. And therefore, even if we say that we're not, we are, because we're not standing up, we're not recognizing these systems as being unfair, and therefore we are complicit in racism, even as, in fact, Kendi, Dr. Ibram Kendi, who is a professor of African Studies at Boston University and has written several books also, he wrote the book How to Be an Anti-Racist. He has said that the biggest threat is not, revolutionary, violent movement like the KKK or maybe neo-Nazis, something like that. No, he says that the biggest threat, okay, is the normal American white person, because of this complicitness, because of this, hey, I'm colorblind, I don't see race. It's the things that we were taught in school. So these are the things that they say, and to be an anti-racist to them, well, one, we have to admit it. And then secondly, we have to lament over it and the sins. And I'll tell you, Ibram Kendi even uses the word sin. He actually grew up, I looked him up, he actually was the son of Christians, okay? So but on top of it all, we lament, and then after we lament, we need to take action and make reparations. And this is where Dr. Strahan was talking about their sense of justice is a distributional justice. It is distributive, not retributive or retributional. And that's so there's a real, and according to D'Angelo, there's no escaping this as a white person. There's no way out as effectively. So what we have to do is we hold fast to the doctrine that we know is true in the Bible. We hold fast to God's truth about who you are. You are God's child. Hold fast to the truth that you are loved as God's child. That Jesus Christ took the wrath and the penalty for all of your sins, and you that just like we know from Romans 8:1, it was mentioned in the video, there is no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the world doesn't know this. Wokeness is simply another fabricated man-made religion designed, okay, around another works-based framework in order to elevate different people, okay, to get what they want. Hey, at the end of the day, we have a saying in my house, you know, hey, you're not the bosser, okay? And it refers to, you know, who has the authority, okay, to tell people what to do in the house, okay? That's what people want. That's what man wants. Man wants to be the bosser. He doesn't want God to be the bosser. That's why we have this. This is not a new religion or threat, okay? There have been heresies built upon works-based righteousness for millennia. This is just another form of it, the way I see it. And we need to treat this situation and these people the same way we treat all people. We love them as, you know, God's creation. We try to bring forth God's truth and do the best we can. And when we fail, what's God tell us to do? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that we confess our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And then we remember that we were made in his image in accordance that he made us male and female from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That we remember, okay, from Romans 10, 9, that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that he raised us from the dead, that we will be saved. These are truths. These are real truths. Separating people into oppressed and oppressor, yeah, that's the product of sin. We're sinners, and we can understand that contact point, but that's not who we are, okay? And that I implore all of you, like that word, to hold fast and bear up. Because you can, because God's given you the strength to do this. He's given each of us the strength and love to do it. So I really appreciate your attention. Are there any other questions here? We got about 2 or 3 more minutes left here. Pastor? Well, if that's said, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do come humbly before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I thank you that your truth is clear. And often we are faced with situations in all of our different spheres of influence. The people that you bring into our lives, Lord, I'm sure each one of us is thinking of different people who are going astray. Lord, I pray that you'd give each of my brothers and sisters here strength. I pray that you'd reassure them of the love that you have for them. I pray that you'd reassure them of the position they hold in you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that out of that abundance of love that they would be able to present your truth in love. And I pray that all that we would do would be glorifying to you, Lord, that we wouldn't rely upon our own wisdom, but that we rely upon the truth that you have taught us in your word. And I pray these things and much, much more in your name. Amen.